Prakriti is material energy. Para Prakriti is what is superior to material energy. And the soul is called Para Prakriti, superior to material energy. Now, that means how can you combine material elements to produce what is superior to material elements? The scientists are thinking in some foolish way. They're thinking, oh, there is something complex. If we make material energy in a very complex way, then the soul is produced, or consciousness can be produced. We just have to combine it in very complex ways, and then somehow or other consciousness can be produced. So this is just confusing. They are trying to confuse the situation, trying to bewilder people. This is not an explanation to say by that when it gets complex enough, then consciousness is formed. That is not an explanation of consciousness. Can't explain it by making it very confusing. Everything is very complex, and therefore it's too complex for us to understand, but somehow or other from that complexity, consciousness will arise. Just like, now this is a kind of cheating. This is cheating, actually, because they're not giving any explanation, only they're making some confusion and saying by that, from this confusion situation, then anything can happen. Just like now the evolutionists, right? They're telling us that, oh yes, life came out of chemicals, but it took billions of years, billions of years time, and by chance it got together and life came out. Isn't it? Now, is that any explanation? That somehow or other, by chance, by random mutation, over billions of years, nobody can study this billions of years. Nobody can study that this so many complex interactions occurred, and then somehow or other, by the combination of chance and billions of years, then life came. It's simply bluffing. They're simply bluffing. People simply making this sound so confusing that nobody could say, oh yes, then it must be possible, because who can think of that chance and billions of years? We get tired to think of how many billions of years it must have taken. It's tiring to think about billions and billions of years. So we think, okay, yes, maybe that's what happened. But it doesn't explain. It doesn't give any explanation. That is not science to say like that. Science means that you give some reasonable explanation. So, we have matter and we have consciousness. Everybody knows this. There are two things. There's not one thing. Right? We have matter, and then we have consciousness of matter. But there's existence and consciousness of existence. So the scriptures explain that the fundamental features of reality are three. They are called Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat means existence. Chit means awareness of existence. And then there's the third one, Ananda. Ananda means fulfillment of existence. These things, these three things are essential to reality. And to say that one comes from the other doesn't—that means they don't understand any of those three things at all, and they don't understand that there are three things. So we'll just like we have three dimensions, X, Y, and Z in a space. In the same way, there are three features of reality. It's not that everything has to be explained only in terms of one thing. There can be three different features of reality. Not that they are three different types of reality. They are all related. Existence and consciousness of existence. They are two different things, but they are related. Without consciousness of existence, how can we speak about existence at all? Isn't it? Is it possible to simply have existence without and be able to speak about it without consciousness of existence? How can we say there is just existence? The scientists want to say there is just matter. How do they know that? Who is saying that? To say that there is just matter requires that there be a consciousness to say there is just matter. And then where's the consciousness coming from? How is that explained? Oh, somehow or other, from the complex arrangement of matter, consciousness comes out. What kind of explanation is that? How does matter, unconscious matter, produce consciousness? They can't explain that. Simply by some word jugglery, they have to tell it. So consciousness is there, existence is there. And you can't have consciousness without an object of consciousness. And in the same way, you can't have an object without there being the subject. For whom is the object? To whom is the object an object? You can't just say object. In order to say object, there must be that subject to whom it is an object.
Yes.
Understand? Does that make sense to you? Janak?
I lost the last part a bit.
Without? How can you say object? And the scientists want to say there's just an object.
Okay. Yes.
Now, if you say object, objective world, to whom is it objective? Isn't it? The next question has to be, to whom is it objective? Can you have object without there being being an object to someone, to a subject?
No.
Like this. Can you have the half of a coin, one side of a coin, without having the other side? You have a coin, right? A coin is mean with a head and tail. You understand?
I understand.
Can you have one side of the coin without the other? Ever heard of a coin with only one? Is it possible? A coin has two sides. Coin has two sides. You can't make it only one-sided coin. There's no such thing, isn't there?
Yes, bro. Yes, bro.
You ever see a one-sided coin? No one has ever seen a one-sided coin, isn't it? Every coin has to have a head and a tail. It has a top and a bottom. It's one thing. Coin is one thing. One entity, but it has two aspects. That's what makes it a coin. In the same way, subject and object are the two aspects. You can't have one without the other. A magnet. A magnet has two poles, north and south pole. You cut the magnet in half, what happens? How many poles
do you have?
How many poles does the magnet have if you cut it in half? Do you know?
Again, two poles.
Right? It'll have a north and a south pole, even you cut it in half. And you cut it again, still it will have. You can't take the north pole away from the south pole, isn't it? You can't have just a north pole or just a south pole. You have to have both together, north and south. Same thing with a coin, you have to have head and tail together. Same thing with object and subject. If there is object, then it must be object to a subject. Otherwise, you can't call it an object.
Yes.
An object is what is an object to a subject. So in the same way, consciousness, in order for us to say consciousness, there must be something we are conscious of. It must be an object of consciousness. So consciousness can't exist without an object, and the object can't exist without consciousness. This they don't understand, and therefore they are trying to describe consciousness in terms of only the object, in terms only of the material object. They can't do it. It's improper, it's illogical, it's unscientific, and they don't realize this mistake that they are making. And therefore, they are cheating the public. They are telling, "Give us money, we will do research, and we will make a machine that is conscious. We will make a machine that is intelligent. We will make a molecule that can come to life."
Yes.
And all these things, they are simply cheating, because they are putting in complex words, long time billions of years, and by random mutation, all these things, that does not give a scientific explanation of how life comes from matter. Simply saying billions of years and random mutation does not give a scientific explanation of how matter produces life. It is simply word jugglery, simply cheating the people. And they are taking billions of dollars. But the more billions of years they put in between, the more billions of dollars they take from the people.
Yeah.
And the more they are bewildering the people with some promise. Oh, we haven't made it yet, but in the future we're going to make it. So just keep giving us your money. Keep buying some material products. Don't worry, there's no soul, there's no God. The scientists have it all figured out. It will just take a little bit more time for us to prove it.
Yes.
And like that, they are misleading everyone.
Yes.
So we want to challenge this bluffing.
Maharaj.
Not only challenge them, but we also want to present what is the scientific understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, to give the positive.
Yes.
We're giving negative criticism to them, but we're also giving what is the positive understanding of the Gita and how to properly understand what is what.
Maharaj, I want to ask, if somebody wants to understand consciousness, what are the symptoms he should look for?
There are so many.
Yes.
Thinking, feeling, willing, sentience.
Yes.
All those things, where do they come from?
Yes.
Can't be due to molecules. Molecules don't think, they don't feel, they don't have any willing.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. So Maharaj, actually thinking, feeling,
cognition, volition, and emotion.
Yes.
These are things that are not contained by molecules.
Yes.
All these things are not found in molecules. So where are they coming from? They are part of the conscious world.
Yes.
They belong to the conscious world. Actually, that is all part of the mental world.
Yes.
But mental world also, how can there be a mental world unless there's a conscious world?
Yes.
Something more than matter. The mental is something more than matter.
Yes.
Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, it is also described as material.
Yes.
Yes. Yet, that doesn't fit into the, even that doesn't fit into the materialistic paradigm of atoms.
Yes.
Even thinking, feeling, willing belong to the mental category.
Yes.
Still, they are objects of consciousness.
Yes.
We are thinking, we are feeling, willing, and we are aware of those things, aren't we? So the awareness of thinking, the awareness of feeling, the awareness of willing, that is also implies that there is something higher than them, consciousness of them.
Maharaj, about this free will, actually one example I was came across that we can predict the motion of projectile approximately by some our projectile motion equation, Newton's equation, but Maharaj, actually that is not true. When we have a bird and we disturb the bird by our all equations, we cannot predict where it is going to land.
Very nice.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Even what to speak of a bird, even a bee, even a mosquito, they cannot predict anything about those things.
Yes.
Then what is missing in their equations? They can't tell us.
Yes, Father.
They have these big equations, so many formulas and integral signs and differential.
Yes.
And all these big equations, quantum mechanics, and all this stuff.
Yes.
And okay, now what is this mosquito going to do? They can't tell us.
Yes, Maharaj.
this is outside of equations. Then, what use is your equation?
Maharaj, actually, I was actually we in my college days we used to discuss Maharaj about this robot Maharaj. this
Yes.
robot, if we make a program, it executes Maharaj. Suppose if I tell a robot that please ask, please call our Dr. Ram or somebody we call, then if the Dr. Ram is sleeping with a closed door and whatever may be the condition, as we have the program, so it will Maharaj simply break the door and bring Dr. Ram from there by force. It has no like, you know, like thinking that, you know, no, he is sleeping or, you know, that feelings he will not. Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
So I do it manually. Sudhanshu has sort of done an automation in his .cahrc. You can copy. I do to the manual path. /home/mohari/release/.
All right.
Yes.
Any other things? Anything
yes.
else? That you like to discuss?
Janak Palwar,
Prabhu. So yes, Prabhuji, I had a fundamental sort of doubt that this what we are trying to explain is like the consciousness and the soul, like these cannot be understood by giving mundane or intellectual or, you know, materialistic arguments. But
right.
the scientists we are talking about, I mean, they understand the language of only materialism. I mean, so how are you going to explain these things to them? I mean, we are trying to sort of, because I myself have thought a lot about these questions. So whatever arguments and counter arguments I come up with, I can think that an atheist can always come up with, you know, again a counter argument that will disprove what I'm trying to convince him. For example, if I try to say that you cannot predict the behavior of a human being just like you can predict the behavior of a program, so he will just tell that is only because the number of dimensions of uncertainty that is. Our mind may be made up of so many billions of molecules that current state-of-the-art computers are unable to actually process this much data, and therefore things appear to us as random, however, or free will. However, in reality, it can all be deterministic. It's just that we don't have enough computation power to determine. So whatever material arguments we come up with, they can always come up with counter-material
right.
arguments.
So we say then your argument is, then we have to tell them that therefore your argument is not scientific, it is based on faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you try
mm-hmm.
to argue with a Christian mm-hmm. fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
You try to argue with a Christian fundamentalist who says, the Bible says that God made the world in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to argue, but sir, you know, there's this rock and these fossils and there's so many
mm-hmm.
evidence against that. And he will say, no, this is what the Bible says and I accept that only.
Okay.
Huh? Then mm-hmm. if the materialist is saying, oh, we don't know yet, but in the future sometime we'll tell. Because our theory
okay.
says that there can only be matter. According to
mm-hmm.
our materialistic
but,
theory,
okay.
matter is the only way that things could have arisen. Therefore, it must have taken billions of years somehow by some complex interaction. Because we accept
mm-hmm.
only matter, then all of things must have come like that.
Okay.
Then you are a fundamentalist. You're dogmatic. You want to think like that. Who can change that person's mind? No one. Only
mm-hmm.
we can point out, you are being dogmatic, you are not being scientific, we don't accept that
mm-hmm.
kind
okay.
of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what they claim to be as quote-unquote science is actually just blind faith, actually.
Dogmatism.
Yes,
at their,
yes. yes.
Dogmatism,
yeah.
blind faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's our argument
okay.
to them.
Yes.
Okay.
Then, and that's the negative argument. And positive argument is that? Okay, what do
okay.
we observe? What do we observe? What we actually can
mm-hmm.
observe, what we actually have evidence of, what we actually have
mm-hmm.
experience of,
yes.
is that we are conscious,
yes.
mm-hmm.
and there is something we are conscious of. And we can't have, and there's these two don't exist separately from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness and the object of consciousness, everybody
mm-hmm.
can experience that. This is not some fairy tale. We don't have to make some explanation of how consciousness came from the object or how the object came from consciousness. But these two things are there in our experience. Everyone can admit it. Yes, then start from there. You make your science out of that. Don't try to contradict what everyone experiences. Why make some theory, a theory which you don't even have any theory, how matter, how the object produces consciousness. You don't have any theory of that. Or theory that you don't have, that you can't explain simply by all these word juggles.
Yes.
No, we have these two experiences. Let's see, how can we understand things on the basis of this practical experience that everyone has? Now that we find, that explanation we find in Gita. So already a book has been written. You don't have to write another book. You have to just study the book that's already there. And here it explains very clearly that there is consciousness, there is object of consciousness. And then there's other principle also, the fulfillment of consciousness.
Yes.
And then we have to understand these three things, then apply your intelligence to that. This book has been around for thousands of years, and people have been studying it and gaining benefit from it. Then why are you complaining? Why are you trying to start a new science that you don't even have any explanation of? Only your some faith or some dogmatism. And we are supposed to accept that.
Yes.
No, I'd rather accept this book, Bhagavad Gita, and study that and get some explanation of what that explains our experience.
Yes.
It is an experiential science. Then why should we accept something that is merely speculative like that? Pure concoction of what you are doing.
Maharaj, this science, like Maharaj, there are a lot of like this science says water is tasteless, odorless, Maharaj. This modern science says, but actually water has some taste. And Krishna says, I'm the taste in the water, Maharaj.
Yes, yes.
So Maharaj, how they say all those things without, you know, having any kind of, you know, this, how they come to such, you know, like incorrect conclusions by their Maharaj?
You know, you can say anything.
Yeah.
They're simply saying, making statements. Anybody can make statements.
Yes, Maharaj.
To verify
the
statement, that's another problem. To tell if it's a true statement, that's another problem. But anyone can make statements.
Yes, Maharaj.
Anyone can say anything.
Yes.
Now, they say the taste of water is tasteless.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
But you can taste when water is pure.
Yes.
You can taste pure water. You can say, oh, this water is very pure. And some taste is there.
Yes. Yes. Right?
And you can taste when there is some impurity in the water also.
Yes, Maharaj.
Or this water is not is polluted or something like that.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we can taste. Why not? We can taste pure water.
Yes. Maharaj, they come to this conclusion by some papers, Maharaj. They write some papers. If the paper get published, then it is being like, you know, like, yes, we have this record published. This.
Yes. So they have written some book.
Yes.
Then it's the absolute truth. They think that they have written a book. Then that becomes the Bible.
Yes. Maharaj, I came across a recent one, you know, a newspaper, Maharaj. So they told that one paper generated by one computer, that is being accepted for public publication.
Yes. They put down some nonsense. It sounds very sophisticated, and everybody's accepting that.
Yes, Maharaj.
That's called deconstruction.
Yes, Maharaj.
There's some philosophy called deconstruction.
Yes.
And anybody who writes in this fancy way with so many confusing words, then people accept, oh, this is very brilliant.
Yes, Maharaj.
And they published it in their journal.
Yes.
And it was all just a nonsense concoction by some computer-generated nonsense.
Yes. Yes.
And they found out later, when they published that, then that man came forward and said, I have fooled you all, you see.
Yes, Maharaj.
Just to show your foolishness, I have made this from the computer, and I submitted it for publication, and you all published it.
Yes.
They were all fools. Yes. Fools and rascals, he told me.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. It shows, Maharaj, actually, you know, having blind faith on one or two publications without having thorough investigation, Maharaj. So
they have no understanding.
Yes, Maharaj. They don't do any thorough investigation, Maharaj. They do only half, not even half, Maharaj. Like a small
practice. Yes, especially, I think he also put little charts, diagrams in there to show the data, some data, and then he drew some lines in that data, and everybody accept, oh, this is very scientific. And only made up, he only made up that all that data, all those lines, all those points, he made it up from the computer.
Yes, Maharaj.
And everybody said, oh, this is very scientific. See? So we must have some understanding, must be some comprehension of what we're doing. Simply as making all this, they call it hand waving. You're waving your hands, and if you wave your hands in a big way, in a big one, you're talking, and you're waving your hands big, big, big like that, then everyone thinks, oh, this person is very, very convincing. He has a lot of things to say. He's very certain of what he's saying. Then we should accept what he's saying, even if it's all nonsense.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we have to understand. If the person doesn't explain himself in such a way that we can understand what is being said, then we have to doubt that that this person is really giving anything substantial.
Yes, Maharaj.
It should be based on our experience.
Yes.
That everyone can experience that, then it becomes scientific.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, this all like this constants and you know all this you know like this laws what they made. So they assume that all these laws, Maharaj, like this gravitational law and all these laws, Maharaj, they apply it irrespective of you know like space, you know, and also time, like the places. But they apply it, Maharaj, everywhere. So, but Maharaj, actually, as far as our scriptures are concerned, Maharaj, so they not visited the planets. So, I think, Maharaj, the different planets have different time scales, different nature. So, Maharaj, so this, like, they are, you know, this blind faith only that shows that they accept that, you know, whatever they have, there's equation that exists and that will be valid in all other planets. They never visited those planets. They observed some light, Maharaj. And so if they, from there, they conclude that this is that.
Yes, well, that's one point. And then the other point is that they don't understand that consciousness and the object, they go together, like I was explaining.
Yes.
And that the way you perceive other planets, or even this planet, is based upon consciousness, your consciousness.
Yes, Maharaj.
So that in, if you can change your consciousness, you can see, you'll see things on a different way. On this planet and on other planets, you'll see different things.
Yes.
That's one thing. Then the other thing is, yes, they are using this principle of uniformitarity, they call it.
Yes.
There's a principle of uniformitarity.
Yes.
Uniformitarity means what I observe here in my laboratory, that is true all over the universe, is uniform.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The behavior of the electron in my laboratory is uniform throughout the whole universe.
Yes.
That's called the uniformitarity principle.
Yes.
So that's an assumption that the scientists make, that whatever is going on in one location, in one restricted location of my laboratory, or under my experimental observation, that is going on all over, uniformly the same action going in every place in the universe.
Yes.
They have no proof of that. That is just their assumption.
Yes.
That's called induction.
Yes.
Inductive principle.
Yes.
The uniformitarity is based on induction.
Yes.
Induction means you take a sample, a small experience, some experience of a small region, and you extend that to the universal region.
Yes.
Just like I explained about taking some red balls, you pick one red ball, two red balls out of a barrel of balls.
Yes.
And if you picked 50 red balls out of the barrel, can you conclude that all the balls in the barrel are red?
Yes.
That's called induction.
Yes.
That is, by induction, I say from 50 red balls being picked, I say all the balls must be red.
Yes.
Well, in science, Maharaj,
Haribol, yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In science and especially mathematics, And also in philosophy, they have a term called the norm. So they say this is the norm.
Right.
So even in this, when we discuss this mathematical or mathematization of nature or approximation of space-time with these norms, so there is a tendency to think that, you know, we can somehow have a norm and I can explain everything with that.
So, right.
Unfortunately, we have not yet got that particular, I mean, we have not been able to find a consistent set of norms yet. That is the whole problem.
Mm-hmm. And what may be norm in one circumstance may not be norm in the other, another set of circumstances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's not even, you can say, we can find the norms for everything.
Yes.
We have to know what the norms are based upon certain boundary conditions.
Yes.
Have to be assumed.
Yes, Maharaj.
You change the boundary condition, the norms will change.
Yes.
So
yes,
then Maharaj. What is the normal boundary condition that they can't figure out?
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
That's arbitrary.
Yes.
Who has set the boundary conditions
yes.
to be what they are?
Yes.
That's a big problem. That's what they call the anthropic principle.
Yes.
The anthropic principle says that the boundary conditions of the universe have all been set such that life will arise here. and that life, that intelligence is capable of conceiving the world and the boundary conditions that have created it.
Yes.
It's called anthropic principle. Anthropo is a Greek word, means man.
Yes.
Yes,
so the anthropic principle says that somehow or other the world has been created just right for man.
Yes.
Then who created that? Who created that? Those conditions.
Yes.
They're called fine tuning.
Yes.
By fine tuning.
Yes.
The universe was formed in such a way that man could take birth.
Yes.
And had the capacity for understanding
yes.
what the world is.
Yes.
How the world is.
Yes.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mara.
All right.
Yes.
All right, so now.
Purushottam Mara is joined.
We'll have it, huh?
Have another meeting?
Another time?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hi.
Hey.
Hari Bol, Prabhu. Very nice talking to you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Dandavat Pranam, Maharaj.
Jai Dandavat Purushottam Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Dandavat, Maharaj.
Dandavat.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.